Okay, so we'll start. Everybody have a Niguma chakra kit? If you don't, anybody not have a Niguma chakra kit? See if they can turn the air conditioning up.
I have already.
Try. Tell them 68 is ideal. At 70, they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. You should all have this paper here. Now it's time to unfold it. This is what you're going to take your notes on tonight. So tonight we're going to talk about a special kind of yoga that was invented about 1,000 years ago. It was created by a lady named Niguma. And she lived exactly 1,000 years ago. She lived in India. And her yoga series is the oldest one that we have any record of. Okay? So like Yoga Sutra is older, but it doesn't actually tell you to do any asanas, okay? Any physical yoga. And Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which is also an older yoga text, it's about 500 years later. So really, Lady Niguma's yoga series is the oldest series we have anywhere, okay? And the only series that we have from ancient times that was designed by a woman. And what she did, she did an interesting kind of yoga. And maybe the guys were all thinking about getting strong and looking good, you know. And then her yoga had a completely different feel to it. And her only goal in her yoga was to help people get over their negative emotions. So her yoga is designed to make you happy and make you love other people. And it's not so much concentrating on exercise or looking good or anything like that. Okay, her yoga, she called it Nyomon Pangba Nyongjor, which means the yoga for getting rid of your negative emotions and yoga for developing love for other people, kindness towards other people. So she had specific exercises for each kind of emotion that you would like. So if you wanted compassion, you would do a certain twist. And if you wanted to get over jealousy, you would do a different twist. And if you had anxiety or depression, then you would do a different kind of exercise. So her yoga, we've designed a yoga from it that we are teaching to people who, just working people. And the idea is that maybe if you learned her yoga and you learned how it worked, then you could do this yoga like in the morning before you go to work. So it's not really so much for people who have all day to do nothing. It's more for people who are working, going to an office. And then if you've ever worked in a large office, which I did for 15 years, it's a lot of stress. There's a lot of emotions going on. There's a lot of anger during the day. There's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of upset. You know, there's stress with other people, tension with other people. You know, so we thought what we're trying to do is take Niguma Yoga and teach it to working people around the world. So I think next month, for example, we're going to Vienna to teach it to people there. We're going to Detroit before that to teach it to people who are stressed out. 1/3 of the people in Detroit don't have a job. Half the buildings are empty. And we're trying to like lower the stress level in Detroit a little bit with Niguma's yoga. And then after that, we go on to teach it in several countries in Asia, like Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore. So the idea is we would like to teach a yoga. Maybe it will take 45 minutes. Most yoga takes an hour and a half. Some takes 2 hours. Nowadays in Tucson, everybody got lazy. They're doing 1 hour. We were thinking that it would be good if you had something that was a half hour or 45 minutes for someone who has to, you know, get up early and go to work, you know. So for real people. Because I think yoga has sort of passed us people, you know. People who really have to support a family, have to really work hard. It'd be nice if they were included in this yoga revolution, which makes you healthy. They used to call me the Pillsbury Doughboy, and I was like 210 pounds. A lot of you never saw me like that. But then I started yoga like 10 years ago. And, you know, it keeps you healthy and young and strong. And we would like to see people around the world use that kind of yoga. And something easy for them to do in the morning before they go to work that doesn't take too much. The big thing for a working person is they don't have time. And then each kid you have less time. So by 3 hours a day. So if you have 3 children, you have 9 hours less than other people. So this kind of yoga we kind of designed. And what I wanted to do tonight was to first to tell you very briefly where it came from and the history of this yoga. We say just so you'll respect it or you'll like it, you know. And then after that, maybe I would like to explain to you how it works. You know, how does this yoga help you get over stress at work? You know, if you do this yoga before you go to your job, why will this yoga help you? Okay, and how does it work? What does it really do? Because that gets into what we call the diamond body or the rainbow body. You have an inner body, which is invisible, and then if you can affect that body with yoga, yoga is meant to affect the inner body. And then you'll be a happier person. And during the day, if you do yoga on the inner body in the morning, you'll be a happier person during the day. And in a way, if you can affect the inner body in the morning, it changes the reality of the day. Okay? So if you were going to have a fight with somebody at work that day, but if you did yoga in the morning, you would go to work and they would smile at you and say, "Good, you know, how are you?" You see what I mean? We believe that the inner body produces your outer world. So if you did a yoga which changed your inner body in the morning, then most of your days would go well and very sweetly. Okay? So we're just trying to, especially in these times of economic difficulty, a lot of people are really stressed out. If you have a family and you have a mortgage, where I am up north of Phoenix, half the houses are for sale, foreclosed. You know, people couldn't pay their mortgages. So there's a tremendous amount of stress in the world right now, especially in this country. So if there's a kind of yoga that you can do which doesn't take very much time, and you can do it in the morning before you go to work, and if it changes your life and changes the world around you, then that would be nice to share with everybody. So I have this dream of sharing that with everybody. There's a kind of person who comes to yoga studios now who's like 30 or 35, and you know they have a lot of money, and they can afford to take 2 hours off in the middle of the day, and you know they have time to fill around with headstands and handstands, and then there's other people who would never come to a studio because they don't have time, and they have children and they have work to go to, and so we would thought, what if you could open up those people's hearts, and what if you could make those people happy, you know, what if you could teach a kind of yoga that would make them happy. Because also just the problem with overweight in this country and people's eating habits, when you do yoga correctly, then you don't feel like overeating and you don't feel like, you know, you just feel more healthy. So in this country, I think a lot of the reason why America is lagging now behind other countries is that they're just not healthy and they don't have any strength, they don't have any physical energy, because if you go, my lama used to go to Circle K, and he'd walk in and he'd turn around and looked at me and he said, there's nothing you can eat in this place. There's not one thing in this place that's good for you, you know? And he wasn't a hippie, you know? He was an old-fashioned Tibetan lama. But he just said he couldn't find anything in there to eat, you know? So I'm hoping that tonight, partly, we're going to talk about this kind of yoga, but part of the idea is, could you teach it yourself? Could you pass it on to other people yourself? You know, and I don't think you have to be a yoga teacher to teach this yoga. Okay, this is not a kind of yoga that you have to, you know, be able to do a headstand with no arms or something to go out and teach it. I think I would like you to learn the ideas behind it, and then there's no reason why you can't teach it to your friends and or your family. Even your parents. My mom, I taught it to her a while back. I taught her basic Naropa's yoga around 1980. You know, I saw her recently, and I said, "Are you doing yoga?" She's, "Well, yeah, I'm doing the yoga you taught me." You know, and she's still doing it. Like 30 years later, she's still every day. You know, and basic meditations that I taught her. So I'm thinking, it's a kind of yoga that you can teach to your friends and your family. Maybe we spread it that way. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be in yoga studios, although you could come to yoga studios and do it. Okay, so you have a pen in your envelope, and you are going to take notes. Because maybe someone you know would like to learn this, and then you can explain it to me. Okay. Guess where you take the notes. There's little lines there, and they're blank now. But they won't be blank when you leave. Okay? Right. And even if you think you'll never do it, try. The first yoga art class I went to was at Sixth Street Temple in New York. I think Pilar taught it, and I just fell asleep. Halfway through, I fell asleep, and they woke me up. Everybody was already gone, and I said, "This is not for me." So you never know, okay? Here we go. So the first big picture you see there is Lady Niguma, who invented this kind of yoga. If she's wearing a dress like that, it must be pretty gentle, I think. Okay? And if you can read Tibetan, there's a writing under her. This is called a tanka, or a scroll painting, which is rolled up and carried on a horse. And you can see under it, it says Om A Niguma something. So that's a picture of Niguma. We don't know a lot about her. Her original name was Immaculate. And a lot of you know the story. To make it like a two-minute story, she was a village girl. She was born in a Hindu family, Brahmin family. She became the wife of the prince of the country, whose name was Naropa. And if you know Naropa University, it was named from Naropa. Okay? So Naropa was a prince. His parents forced him to marry a girl, and they picked this Niguma. Okay? She was born exactly 1,000 years ago, so 1,000 AD. And at some point, the marriage broke down. Naropa wanted to become a monk. He didn't want to live a family life. He told her one day he's going to go become a monk. And she said, "Well, you know, in India you can't get a divorce that easily." You know? And she said, "So I'll help you." Because she loved him. She really loved him. So she said, "I'll go to your parents and I'll tell them that I've been cheating on you. You can tell them I've been cheating on you. And then they will approve the divorce. And then you can go and be a monk. But only one thing is, I get to come with you." Okay, so she made a deal like that. I think it's a pretty good deal. And they did this whole play. You know, he told the parents she's been cheating on me. And then they said, okay, it's all right for you to leave her. And then he said, by the way, I'm becoming a monk now. And he left. And he went to Kashmir, a long way from his home. And there were great Buddhist universities in Kashmir at the time. And he became a great scholar. Later on, if you know the story, he became the head of Nalanda Monastery, which is the most famous Buddhist monastery in India. He became the abbot of that. One day he was out under a tree studying logic from a book. He met an old woman, a very ugly old woman, who challenged him and accused him of not knowing anything. And then he was very offended, but she proved to him that he didn't know anything. And he said, I think you should go out in the forest and look for this guy named Tilopa. And he's a great yogi, and he will teach you yoga. And you can really get enlightened if you do that. So Naropa, you know, he went out in the forest looking for Tilopa, and he found him. And then Tilopa trained him. And then he and Niguma lived happily ever after, okay? Niguma became a great teacher in her own right. She lived on an island in the Ganges River called Sosa. And then she had a community of women there. And they studied together, and they did their yoga together, and they meditated together. And then she became pretty famous. And a Tibetan named Kyungbo Myeongjor heard about her and fell in love with her name. And he traveled to India, which was very difficult at the time. It was very dangerous. It'd be like walking to Brazil or something from here. And he left, and he went, and he found her. And then he asked her to teach him yoga and meditation. And then the story is that she carried him to a high mountain in the sky. She flew in the sky and took him. Took him to high mountain and taught him all the practices, partly in awake and partly in a dream. And then he came back to Tibet and started to teach this yoga. Later on, about, let's say, 400 years later, it was being practiced a lot by the second Dalai Lama, whose name was Gendun Gyatso. And you can see him at the bottom, okay, in the blue picture. That's His Holiness the Second Dalai Lama. His name is Gendun Gyatso. He was born in 1476, and he passed away in 1542. During his life, he wasn't recognized as a Dalai Lama. At that time, they didn't have Dalai Lamas, okay? The first Dalai Lama was recognized before him, and then he became a famous monk. He was the abbot of three great monasteries, Drebung, Sera, and Tashitumbo in his lifetime, which nowadays is impossible because they're all competing with each other, but he managed to become the abbot of all three. And then after he died, they decided he was the second Dalai Lama, all right? So he didn't get all the credit until afterwards, all right? But he was a very devoted follower of Niguma's yoga, okay? And that's one of the sources that we have is a book by him, which in Tibetan is called Sablam Nigu Chuduki Chiyik Yeshe Kandur Shalom, which means the words of the angel from the sky. Okay? He wrote a book called The Words of the Angel from the Sky on the six yogas of Niguma. So Niguma had six different practices, and the second Dalai Lama was a very close follower of him. One of those practices is called Inner Fire. In Tibetan, they call Tumo. In Sanskrit, they call Kundalini or Chandali. And he became a devotee of the six practices of Niguma. Okay? Later on, there was a great yogi named Taranatha. And he's the one in the red, okay, on the front page. He was born in 1575. and he died in 1634. And he's most famous nowadays. He wrote a history of India. Okay, so in the 1500s, he wrote a history of India, especially of Buddhism in India. So a lot of what we know about Buddhism in India came from Taranatha. Like the circumstances of Lord Buddha himself and the early stages of India are in a book by him called Religious History of India. It's called Gyagar Chungjung in Tibetan. Okay. He did an interesting thing. He traveled to Mongolia, which in his time would have taken, I don't know, 6 months by horse, something like that. And then he started teaching Mongolians about Buddhism and philosophy. And then he lived there for 20 years. And he became known as a Jetsun Dampa. Jetsun Dampa nowadays is the title for the Dalai Lama of Mongolia. So Mongolians have their own Dalai Lama, and they call him Jetsun Dampa. And that's considered to be the reincarnation of Taranatha, okay? Jetsun Taranatha. Mm-hmm. Taranatha was the first person to write down Nyingma's asanas. So Taranatha wrote a book about the yoga exercises of Nyingma, okay? And that's why we have them. So we have a project going in Mongolia with the government, and we were able to find these books by Taranatha, Jetsun Dampa Taranatha, that describe the physical yogas of Nyingma. And so we were able to locate the description of how to practice Nyingma's yoga. And then we translated it, and we've been teaching it. Okay. So what I wanted to do, that's the history, okay? You see Naropa in the middle, okay, in the black and white. And then behind him you see the exercises that Naropa used to teach. Okay, so we're lucky and we found in Russia a copy of a manuscript from the 1700s by Changlung Pandita, who he drew the exercises as they existed in his time of Naropa. Okay? So what I wanted to do now was... we're not going to do asanas tonight. I thought we could come back and do it some other time. You know, like maybe we could. My dream is that tonight you just learn how they work, okay? And then we're going to be traveling around the world, in Europe, Asia, South America, and teaching the exercises. And they're not difficult. They're not fancy. They're very basic exercises. They are very simple. They are not difficult to do. And they're very powerful. And in 45 minutes, they change how you experience your day at work. Okay, so it's not a goal that a person can stand on their head for 2 hours or something. It's a goal that in a minimum amount of time, they can do something which is not difficult for them, but which has a profound effect on their inner body, and then changes their day. Okay, makes their day go some kind of amazing day. Okay, and if you get good at this, and if you try it, you will find that if you do Nyingma's yoga in the morning, just like half an hour or 45 minutes, I'm thinking working people, not yoga people. You know, I have this dream, I have this vision. You know, of people, just plain working people, and before they go to work, they brush their teeth. You know, they have their cereal, they read their newspaper, and they do Nyingma's yoga. You know, and then they have a good day because they feel it changes the inner body, which changes the reality around you. Okay, so how does that work? What I wanted tonight was that you really understand how it works, and then when we go and when we say, okay, we're going to have a Nyingma, we're going to teach you like the 40-minute Nyingma series, which if you do it, you'll have a great day at work, and you'll lose weight and you'll feel great like that. And your family life will be better. When we say, okay, come, then you'll come because you'll know how it works. You see what I mean? So tonight the goal is just to teach you how it works. Because right? I believe that once you know how something works, you're more likely to try it. You know? If someone says, I'm going to teach you this special yoga, but you don't know how it works, then it's just like voodoo, you know? Then I don't think you're so attracted to do it. I think if you understand something, you're more likely to want to try it. Okay, so that's on the back. All right, so turn your sheet over. There's some basic things you have to know about how the inner body works, okay? And I'm going to explain some basic things about how your inner body works. And if you understand that, then you'll have no problem with understanding why Nigumas yoga in like half an hour, 45 minutes in the morning. Why would it work not to have a stressful day? And why would it work to lower your jealousy, your anger, you know, make you more compassionate at work, make you more cheerful, make you more loving person? And then in theory, if a whole group of people, I worked in a company, we have 800 people in my division, and it would be nice to have people, if all the people were doing the Nigumas yoga in the morning, they would come to work and they would feel like a kind of bond and a kind of harmony. So, you know, I taught the 800 people some levels of Nigumas yoga, even 20 years ago. And we had a very interesting workplace. It was very, very beautiful, very happy. And I tell the story often that I had trouble getting people to go home at night. People would stay till 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and I had a real problem to get them to go home because they didn't want to leave, you know. And they said, I'll work for 2-3 hours extra for no pay if I can stay, you know. And it was just a sweet feeling because they partly understood what we are going to talk about tonight, okay. So first we're going to talk about four things, okay, which you'll see on your paper. Number one, we're going to talk about the channels of the inner body. You know, like the pipeways of the inner body, how they work. You need to know that to understand how Nigumas yoga works. Then we're going to talk about the grantis, or knots, the knots that form in the inner channels. Because the goal of Nigumas yoga is to untie those knots. Those knots prevent you from being happy, and they prevent your body from being healthy. And if you can loosen those knots, then your body becomes more healthy, more happy. So the second thing to understand is, where are the knots? What do they look like? How do you loosen them? Okay. Third thing is chakras. Chakras are really choke points where the knots are in your inner body. When you have, it's like if you take a garden hose and you coil it the wrong way, you bend it, then water spurts out. So chakras are really a place where the water hose is tied up. Okay, and then those are where the knots are. So the knots cause the chakras. So we'll talk about that. It's good if you can learn about the chakras. The key behind Nigumas yoga is how it opens the chakras in a certain order in the body. That's the whole key behind her yoga. Okay? That's the whole key behind Nigumas yoga is loosening the knots in a certain order in the body. Actually, it's going up in the body. Okay? And then it releases. And if you work in a certain direction in the body, then it's much more powerful. So it's the yoga starts at the bottom of the body and works up to the top of the body. So that's just a basic principle about opening knots and opening chakras. Okay. Then the last thing there is what Lady Naguma says to do with them, like four steps to opening your knots and opening the channels in the inner body, getting the inner body open. So at each chakra, you would do four steps in her yoga, which we have from ancient manuscripts by Taranatha, that she gives you four steps in opening the chakras, how to make them healthy, how to make them open. When the chakras are open, then you just feel happy, you feel loving, you feel affection for others, and your world becomes more gentle and more beautiful, okay? So that's what we're going to do in the next 45 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to go through these four subjects: the channels that are in your body, the knots in the channels, the chakras that form from those knots, and then how does Lady Niguma say to open them, okay? All right, so here we go. You have to open up your chakra kit, okay? And you'll find a central channel in there. That's the clear one, okay? That's the clear one. Got it? That's your central channel. Okay. Christine Walsh did all this, okay? She did a really good job. I think we should give her a hand. And Rob Haggerty spent all night last night cutting them, okay? So, and I told her, she came back and forth to the hardware store like 5 times. I said, look, what I want is the clear one, you know, with the copper inside. And finally she got it, you know. So your central channel starts here, okay? Under the skull is the, basically your central channel starts here. You can think of it starting here. And then it goes under the skull, follows the bottom, follows the inside of the skull, goes down your back, right inside of the spine, okay? Like the texts say, maybe a half inch inside the spine. So it's not the spine, it's not the spinal cord. But they would say that the spinal cord has formed around it, okay? They say like ice on a twig. Okay, so then it comes down, it goes down to your perineum or your groin, and it comes up to the base of your sexual organ, whether you're a man or a woman, okay? And that's called the central channel. The reason I got this is because it's pretty close to what it looks like. The central channel is translucent. It looks like flame. It looks like a copper-colored flame. And it has some kind of crystalline quality to it, okay? So it's not opaque. It's almost crystalline, and you can see into it, and you can see the fire, you can see the golden red color inside the central channel. Okay, so basically, I if it were really the central channel, it would be like a campfire flame. The color would be of a campfire flame, and it would feel like that, and it would look like that. Okay, more like that. This is the closest I could get in Home Depot. So that's the central channel. In Sanskrit, it's called Sushumna. Okay, so I put there the name Sushumna. Okay, and you have to think central channel. Okay? Su means good. Okay, in the old days it was spelled Esu, Esu, and in Greek the S dropped out and it became U, like eurythmics or euthanasia, meaning good. Okay, so Su means good. You repeat it when you want it to be stronger. Su-shu means really good. Okay, it used to be su-su, and it changed to su-shu because that's how Sanskrit acts after you. Okay, and then mana comes from the word hymn, H-Y-M-N, the M-N in hymn. And it means a holy song, a sacred song. So su-shu-na is the Indian word for central channel, and it means... The beautiful song, okay? The beautiful song, something like that. Okay, now you gotta pull out Pingala, okay? Pingala is the red one. Everybody got your Pingala? That's your Pingala, okay? I think next time we'll try pipe cleaners, but anyway. This is your Pingala. The word pingala came into English as
pink,
okay? And it means a reddish color. Pingala means a reddish color, okay? So this channel in Sanskrit is called the reddish channel. It runs down the right side of your body, okay? Your right side. So it extends down to right about here. It goes past the central channel and extends down to about here. And that's why you have two nostrils, okay? You have a right nostril has formed around the pingala, okay? That's why you have two sides to your nose and not just one hole in your nose, okay? Because there's going to be another channel on the other side, okay? So pingala comes down here, and then it follows it stays on the right of the central channel. So if the central channel's here, you can try, okay? Your pingala's here. You have mirrors, that's why we brought you here. You thought it was just to watch yourself, right? It follows the central channel down the right side, on your whole right side, and then it comes down into your perineum, down to your groin. And that's the pingala. Now we got one more. Guess what? Okay, this is the white one, okay? We tried to find one without electrical supply company on it or whatever, and we couldn't find one. The place is called Ida. Say Ida.
Ida.
Ida means, do you know Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Italy dosa, right? I mean, Italy means a creamy white. And even in India now. So Ida actually is an old word for sheep. And it means white as a sheep, white as sheep's fleece. Okay, that's what Ida means. Okay, so Ida is on the left side of the central channel. Okay, it comes down here to almost to your nostril. It causes your nostril, right? And then it goes under the skull, back, follows the inside of your spine, goes down, curves around, comes up at your sexual organs. Okay, so if you wanted to, like, this would be a rough model of your inner body. You know? There are 72,000 channels. These three are the most important. These are the only three you have to know about. Okay? That's what the text says. Hatha Yoga Pradipika says, the Hindu tradition and the Buddhist tradition both say, look, you only need to know about these three. Okay? All right. Now, inside the central channel, inside the Sushumna, run your healthy thoughts. Thoughts of kindness, thoughts of love, thoughts of concern for others, wisdom, understanding, empathy, sympathy, all the good ones, okay? Bliss, happiness, joy. They all run through the central channel. Thoughts can't run on their own. They need to have a medium. The thoughts are insubstantial. They can't ride on their own. They need to have something traveling to connect to travel. So they run on a thing, on an energy called prana, okay? The inner wind, okay? So that's your central channel. Inside there's a very subtle physical thing like light that's called prana, that's flowing. And then on the prana are riding your thoughts. Got it? Say, lung sen.
Lung Sam.
Jupa Chipa.
Jupa
Chipa. Lung Sam. Lung Sam. Lung Sam means prana and your thoughts. Jupa Chipa means they ride in tandem. Okay? Your thoughts ride on the prana through your body. If your prana is flowing through the Sushumna, through the middle channel, then you have gentle thoughts, happy thoughts, kind thoughts, loving thoughts. Okay? But if they're running to the pingala, which is red and opaque. We purposely made it opaque. It is opaque. It's a blood red. This is a little too light. Should be a blood red. If your thoughts, if your prana is running through this channel, you feel grumpy, angry, upset, uptight, okay? Things like that. Angry thoughts are running through the pingala, okay? Then in the white one, in the Ida, in the sheep channel, run your thoughts of wanting things, you know? I want more ice cream. I only got one hamburger today. You know, I want two milkshakes. You know, I want that job. I want that boy that you have, okay? We distinguish, of course, between proper wanting and improper wanting. Okay, so proper wanting would be, you know, I want to help the poor, or I want to make people happy, or you can even say I want ice cream, but I'm going to get it by helping others to get their ice cream, okay? Like wisdom ice cream. Ice cream wisdom, okay? Where do you think jealousy over someone else's boyfriend is traveling? It's traveling in here, okay? That's traveling in here. How about pissed off at the weather or the traffic? That's in the Pingala, okay? What about wanting to have a nice dinner after the class tonight with my friends and celebrate a holy angel? Yeah. Central channel, no problem. As long as you don't steal the money, as long as the restaurant is open, you know, as long as everything is clean and happy and pure, there's no problem with wanting things. Okay, that's not a problem. And as long as you get them by being kind to others. Okay, so that's the condition of the three channels. Now, here starts the bad part. At certain points in your body, the two side channels cross over the other one. Okay, so here we go. Let's drop the ida for a while because we're not that coordinated. All right. So you got the, I got the central channel, and I got the pingala running alongside it. You ready? So now around about the middle. Okay, let the pingala turn across. Okay, got it? Let it turn across the central channel. Everybody has to do it. No, this is how I figured out. I think you're going to remember it better. I hope. You know? Okay, we'll see. So the pingala crosses over. Then it crosses back. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to see how coordinated people are. It crosses over, and then it comes back. Got it? And it chokes the central channel. It chokes the sushumna. Okay? The red one is choking the middle one. That the worst place is at your heart. Okay? Right behind your heart. The red one crosses over and it comes back. And it chokes the sushumna, the central channel. What happens then? What happens if you choke this one? You were being kind. You were being nice. You were happy when you woke up, okay? Then there was traffic, okay? And more prana started moving in the pingala, and it chokes the sushumna. It choked it. Then you get upset, okay? Then you get angry, all right? Got it? Are you starting to sense the basis of Niguma's yoga? You see? She's going to teach us ways of dealing with this that don't choke the central channel. Got it? That release the knot on the central channel. Okay, okay. Now let's get this guy into the action. You got upset in traffic on the 101 North coming from Tucson because you were trying to drink your mint tea with agave and you weren't paying attention while you were driving. Okay, that's running through the ida, a desire which would hurt other people. A desire which would endanger the lives of other people so you could have a sip of your organic mint tea. All right? That's running through the thing about. This is crossing over at the same place, and then what? Coming back, okay? It's hard, right? You can do it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't do it with some wires, you'll never be able to do it with another. I'm just being serious. Okay. I had some practice. We were thinking about doing it at home and sneaking them in and just pointing them out. Because it took us like a half hour to. Okay? So now you've got two guys choking the middle channel. See? Two guys are crossing over and coming back and choking the middle channel. Got it? Now do this. I don't know if it works. Yeah, add another two. Just twist it to another two. See, by dumb good luck, I got it. Okay, see? See that one? It's three twists around. Three twists of both channels around the middle channel. I think I should just call a time limit. Okay, we have like that. By the way, so the only place in your body where the side channels twist around the middle channel three times is at your heart. Okay, when I say heart, where am I talking? I'm talking the spine behind the heart. I'm talking right in front of the spine. Okay, where the central channel is coming down. So there's a knot at your back of your, behind your heart, in these three channels, and it's a triple knot. It's the worst one. Okay, twist around three times. Okay, I'll show you something cool. I'll show you later. No, I'll show you now. Okay, get your balloon out. You have to study the physics of an inner channel. Okay? Guess what you have to do now? Yeah, this is a test of your pranayama. So fill up your head. Oh my god. I can't do it. Can you do it? You cheated me, Christine. This is impossible. Okay, everybody stop. I don't want you to sit. Just stop. I'm sorry. But I'll show you something, okay? Look, go like this. Go like this. Just fill it with a little bit of air. Don't blow it up. Hold the end. Okay, got it? Now, squeeze it out like this. You see, and the end gets fatter, right? See, look what happened to mine. Okay? Like a little bowl form, right? Bowl form. Like that. You got your little bowl? Okay, now let go. Now pick up this one again. When the channels, side channels cross over the main channel, that's called a granti. Say granti. Granti means a knot. Okay, in Sanskrit it means a knot. So now we're going to cover the three knots. Okay? Brahma granti is at your lower part of your body. Okay, you can say below your navel, but in the back. Okay, it's not your belly button. It's in the back, just in front of your spine. There's a knot like this, but it only has one. They only cross over once. Okay. Like the Brahma granti is not so bad. Right? These pass over once. Okay? They pass over once. What happens is, let's say this is my central channel, okay? And the two side channels are choking it, right? So I have a good thought or something. And it doesn't have anywhere to go because of the knot. And then out pops this thing. Okay. What is that? Chakra. That's a chakra. What's chakra mean? A wheel. You got it? There you go. Okay? It's a wheel. That's caused by a pressure buildup. Okay? It spurts out as a wheel. That's a chakra. So where do the chakras occur in the body? Where the knots are. Okay? Like here, in our little thing here, a chakra would pop out here. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's what a chakra is. Okay? It's like a blister, or, you know, choke point, where the wind can't move. The wind gets choked. That was your good thoughts, okay? That was your kindness to other drivers on the 101 this afternoon. You know? I'm going to listen to yoga. I'm going to listen to a Buddhist monk. I should be compassionate in driving today. Oh, god damn, this guy cut me off. And then there's a block, you see? Then there's a block. Because then you have prana moving through the red channel, right? It gets fatter. And it chokes the middle one. Got it? When you get an angry thought, the red one gets fatter. And it chokes the middle channel. Worse. More pressure. More pressure on the middle channel. Every time you have a goddamn that guy thought in your mind, the pingala gets fatter. And it chokes the central channel more. Okay? Then you have this thing where I want to get there. And I don't care what it takes. You know, I know the speed limit is 50. I know they're starting at 7 o'clock on time. And I got to get there. You know, I know the speed limit is 50, but I'm going to go 60. I want. Right? And I don't care what could happen. I don't care if I could kill other people at that moment. Right? There's a reason why they put a speed limit on the road. So you don't kill people. You know, but you want. And you want in a bad way. Got it? To want in a good way is okay. I want to get to the place faster. I'm going to be nice to people. That's okay. I want to get there faster, I'm going to go faster. I'm going to go over the speed limit. I'm going to endanger the other people on this highway. Then prana is moving to the ida, okay? Because I want. In a way that I want, I'm willing to hurt other people to get what I want, okay? So what happens? You're in the car. You're headed on your way to the yoga talk. First of all, you're angry that someone cut you off, you got prana moving to the red one. Then you want to get there. You're willing to go faster. Then you got prana moving to the white one. What happens to the simple channel? Double choke. Okay? It's choked more. Okay? Then what happens? Then get this and you understood the class. Get this and you can go home technically. Although you can't. Okay? Get this. In your desire to get to the yoga class, if you feel anger that other people are not moving fast enough, and if you are wanted so bad you're willing to break the speed limit and endanger other people, right? It will choke the middle channel. And then you'll have a lousy class. You won't understand the class. The class will be too hard. The people you want to see the class won't come. You won't understand what the guy is talking about. It'll be an unpleasant class. You'll go back to Tucson late, you feel unhappy, you don't feel fulfilled. Why? Was it the class? It couldn't be. In your desire to get to the class, and in your anger to get to the class, you ruined the class. Because you can't perceive the class as a pleasant event if this knot is tight, and it's going to be knot if you are knotty on the highway. Okay? Got it? What I'm saying is profound, because in how Nigumas Yoga works, right? If you can avoid knots, if you can untie these knots in the morning, what will happen at work? Work itself will change. I'm not talking you feel better at work. I'm not saying, get this, I'm not saying bad things happen at work and you feel okay about them. I'm saying through this channel runs the reality of your job. Through this channel runs all the people at work you don't like or you do like. If this channel can flow well, the people you don't like will change or get fired. And the people you do like will get promoted. You see what I mean? Your reality is coming from the central channel. If you have some exercises in the morning that help loosen these knots, then your work will be, your work, the economy will change. Got it? Why? Because you opened your knots. You want to change the American economy? Just get people to open their knots. It's very cool. It's a lot less work than all this Democrats and Republicans stuff. You know? Right? It's less work than a vote. Right? You can change the economy. Right? What do you mean it can change the economy? If I do yoga in the morning and my knots are loose and the prana is flowing in my central channel and somebody else doesn't do it, what do you have, two economies running at the same time? Yeah. That's why some people have a good job and some people don't. That is two economies, okay? I have a friend that went to Tucson. He went to a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and they hired him. I had another friend who spent 6 months walking around Tucson, couldn't get a job. Went to all the restaurants, couldn't get a job. My one friend went to one place, asked for a job, they said, come in tomorrow. You know? What? There is two economies going on. There's as many economies going on as there are some. Okay, but we're not going to go there. So, Brahma Granthi, down here. You can fill it in on your page. Lower part of your body. You can say just below the navel, in the back. Just below the navel, in the back. What does that make the Vishnu Granthi? The heart one, okay? Which is the hardest one because it's a
triple turn.
And then another one behind the neck, okay? Behind the neck. At the base of the neck, which is the Ishvara Granthi. In some books, it's called Rudra Granthi. Okay, but in our lineage of Niguma, it's called Ishvara Granthi. Okay, got it? Those are your three knots. There's also a big knot here at the tip of your head. And there's a big knot at your groin. And there's a tiny knot here, and there's a tiny knot at the tip of your dinger, or your winger. Okay? All right. Now, where was I? We're going to talk about chakras, okay? That's the last part of the plumbing that you need to know about. Okay? So here we're going to go through the chakras. I wrote the names down here for you. The little knot, that, well, it's not little. There's a major knot at the groin, where your two legs meet. Okay, not right where your two legs meet, here, at the joint there, is a knot. And that's called Muladhara Chakra. Say Muladhara?
Muladhara.
Chakra. The little bulb that comes out there, right? Let me do it again. They did give us a pump, right? We should have known. We didn't think to have Rob Howard try blowing up. Okay, see, that's perfect, right? Watch what happens here. So there's nothing, right? Then there's a blockage. Come on. Yeah, there you go. And then it pops out, okay? So there's a little chakra in your groin called Muladhara Chakra. Say Svadhisthana.
Svadhisthana.
That's, by the way, Mula means root, Dhara means holds, right? Mula Adhara means to hold the root. And it just means the bottom one, the basic one. Okay? Then Svadhisthana, which everybody in the yoga world mispronounces, is basically right inside your tailbone. Okay? Svadhisthana. It's very important in the Tibetan tradition because it means Dak Jingilak. Say Dak.
Dak.
Jingilak.
Dak
means swa, means me. I. Okay? Adhisthana, Jingilak means to bless myself. Svadhisthana. Swa Adhisthana means to bless myself. And this is a high tantric practice. And some people in this room have learned it in their Dzogchen meditations, but you don't remember. Okay. It was in Naropa's Six Yoga. We learned it in Naropa Six Yoga. The blessing of yourself, which is a practice for opening the channels there. Okay? Next one up is called Nirmana Chakra. In the Hindu tradition, it's called Manipura. Okay? Manipura. But in the Buddhist tradition, which comes from India, it's called the Nirmana Chakra. Okay? Which means to emanate. That's also only a single twist, okay? The red and white ones go around just a single twist. Is that your belly button? Why not? It's in the back, okay? Just think back, right in front of your spine.
Okay? Inside or in front?
They say half an inch in front of the spine, okay? Towards your belly button and half an inch from your spine. Okay? And then your spine has formed around it, like chocolate on a. You dip a chocolate ice cream in. You dip an ice cream in chocolate, and your spine has grown around your chakra in the same way that the chocolate grows around the shape of the ice cream. Okay, next one is. Oh, where were we? Dharma chakra. Say Dharma chakra.
Dharma chakra.
Which in the Hindu tradition is called Anahata. Anahata means not struck. A sound of a drum with no one beating the drum. Why? Because of the sound of your heart going thump, thump, thump. Nobody's sitting there with a stick and beating your heart. Your heart is self-beating, which is anahata. Anahata, okay? But in the Buddhist tradition, this chakra is called Dharma chakra because all things emanate from this chakra. And Dharma means things. Okay? Dharma chakra. By the way, how many twists at the heart chakra?
Three.
Triple twist. Okay? The nastiest one. What's the only part of your spine where major bones have come up out to surround that area? Is the heart chakra. The ribs are a reflection of the triple knot. Okay? The reason you have ribs is because of this knot. If the knot at the navel had been triple, you'd have ribs down there too. Got it? It's cool. It's really cool. And why is the hardest thing to love people? Because that comes from the heart chakra. Okay? It's the most shielded area because of the triple. It's the hardest place to open, and the hardest thing to do is to really love other people and be concerned about other people. So that's all coming from your Dharma chakra. Okay? What about the next chakra? Back here, and it's called Sambhoga chakra. Okay, Sambhoga means to experience. And in the scriptures they say it's called Sambhoga chakra because that's where you eat. That's where the food comes down. That's where you start to digest the food. It's here, right? You swallow here. So it's called, Sambhoga means to enjoy or partake. Partake of food, in this case. Okay. Next chakra. Say again?
Mahasukha.
Yeah, Mahasukha. Dechen Kikolo in Tibetan. Say Mahasukha.
Mahasukha.
Yeah, this is called Dechen Kikolo. Because it is the seat of the white element, which when it melts down, you feel Mahasukha. You get bliss. So that's why it's called the ecstasy chakra, okay? Mahasukha chakra. In Hindu tradition, Sahasrara. Sahasrara. Sahasra means thousand. Ara means spokes. So in the Hindu tradition, it's called the thousand spokes. Sahasrara. And then there's a little chakra here that we're not going to worry about. Now, last thing, and we're almost done, okay? We're almost done. What do you think Niguma, who is very familiar with all this, it's in her text, what do you think her goal was with her yoga? What was she trying to get happen? Yeah, release the pressure on the central channel. Let the central channel flow, let the sushumna flow easily. And then people will have a good day at work. Because work itself will change. Okay? Not that if you're having a bad day at work and you feel happy. It's that work itself will change. Because the work is being emanated from the heart chakra. The office is being emanated from the heart chakra. What happens if you open up the heart chakra? First of all, how do you open the heart chakra? Duh! What do you want to do? Let's untwist it. So try, okay? Everybody untwist their thing. Untwist your thing. Release. I shall be released. Okay? It's released. Okay, stop. Don't go too far. Leave it crooked. Okay? We have released the twist. We have released the twist. This is the first stage of all Niguma Asana poses. Guess what Granthi Mochana means? Release the knot. It's like Granthi Moksha. Okay, release the knot. First step, release the knot. First step, release the knot. Now, here's a profound thing. You ready? What did you do to get the central channel mochana free? What did you just do? What did you do? Who said? You twisted it. You untwisted it. Okay? So all Granthi Mochana poses are twists. Got it? In her system, you attack the chakra first with a twist. Because you're trying to release the side channel. This becomes cool right now. If I just stood up here and explained it without, you didn't have your wire, you wouldn't appreciate it, right? Now, do it again, like twist it and untwist it, you see? That's why you're doing a twist. Okay? Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So where are the three Granthis? Where's the Brahma Granthi? Behind the navel, right? So you would, if you wanted to open the Brahma Granthi, what would you do? Do a twist that concentrated on the lower back. Got it? Do a twist that concentrated on the lower back. That would release the Brahma Granthi, the lowest knot. Okay. How would you release the Vishnu Granthi? Do a twist that concentrates at the heart, somehow. Which is the hardest place to twist because the ribs are there. Okay? And they lock your body. it's hard to get a twist concentrated at the heart, right? Then what about the Ishvara Granthi? How would you release that?
Twist your neck.
Yeah, something that would loosen your neck, okay? Some kind of twist of the neck, okay? Now, the most important thing about her yoga, okay? The most important thing about her yoga. What if I do some release here, but these two are still blocked? It's difficult, you see? If you do a pose out of order, you have to start at the ends, you see? You have to start the untwisting down here. You untwist the bottom one first. And then that frees the prana up to the middle one, and then you untwist the middle one. And then that frees the prana up to the neck one, and then you unfree that one. So there's an order, there has to be an order. She says, her system, there must be an order. You can't just do a little exercises that open this one, and then do a little exercise that open this one, and then go down here. You should go in order, up. Okay, you can go down, it's also effective, but less powerful. Up is more powerful. Okay, so where would you begin? Which granthi would you begin with? Brahma granthi behind the navel. Okay, then you would go to the heart, and then you would go to the Ishvara granthi. But we said you had granthis here, and we said you had a granthi in your groin. Forget the dinger ones, they're small. What about those? What kind of twist are you going to do here? Yeah, you could say, it's not possible to twist this granthi. Okay? It's not possible. Just the skull is there in the way. Okay? The end ones, cranial sacral, got it? The end ones cannot be affected so much by a twist. So we use acupressure. We use pressure on the point. Okay? If I had a twist here like this, right? And if I put pressure on it, right? It releases it, you see? If I put pressure on that, it releases it. Because we can't twist it. You can't do anything inside the skull to twist it, okay? So you put pressure on it. So what's the most powerful pose for opening the Mahasukha chakra? Is a headstand where the skull is touching the ground. You know, where there's pressure here. Okay, there has to be pressure here. Okay, got it? How would you put pressure on the groin? You can do drops, okay? And that's a tradition. You do drops, which you do in Nigumo. Or you can... You can put your heel there. You can press against it with your heel. So in the Niguma series that we'll be teaching you, the half hour to 45 minutes in the morning, we do it with the heel and with some gentle drops. Why? Why gentle? We're talking working people. We're talking people who have been overeating for 20 years, been sitting at a desk for 20 years, been crouched over their computer for 20 years. We want to help people who are sedentary and have never done any exercise. You know, we want something powerful for them. We want to help the people who need it the most. You see? So you make a series that's gentle and that they can access. And that probably involves putting your heel there for now. Okay? Or gentle, you know, keeping your knees on the ground and just gently tapping it. Okay? So, we're almost done, alright? We untwisted the knot. Okay? We did granthi mochana. What's the next thing she said to her? Nadi pranadaya. Pranadaya means straighten them out. Straighten them out. Look here. What happened after you untwisted them? They're all like, there's still blockages, you see? So then you've got to sit here, work on it, okay? Work on your thing, all right? You've got to do yours. I'm not doing the only one in the room. Like, it takes some work, right? Where it was twisted, it's still knotted. Where it was twisted, it's still crooked, right? And you work on it. Okay? Got it? Like, fairly straight, right? Fairly straight now. And if you keep working, you straighten it more. If a twist is what loosens the knot, what straightens the area of the knot? A stretch. Okay? So in her yoga, you start with a twist at that chakra position. And then you go to a stretch. what would be if what do you call this thing? Marichasana or Matsyendasana? Okay, let's call it Matsyendasana. Let's say I finish doing Matsyendasana to open the knot slightly. By the way, she does all four steps at one chakra and then moves up to the next one. Okay? So what would I do to straighten it? What would I do to straighten the area? Who said Paschimottanā? Somebody said Paschimottanā. Yeah, do Paschimottanā, which is a forward bend, seated forward bend. You're sitting on the ground, your feet are stuck out in front of you, and you're just bending over. And the area of the Brahma Granthi is being opened. Got it? In theory, if you had... how would you straighten them at the groin? Yeah, you could do some kind of a split, seated split bend or something. Or you could do Baddha Konasana.
We'd like,
which is just feet to feet, right? Like this. Like this, right? I can't do it, that's skirt. Right, anyway, you get the point. Or you could do a split if the person wasn't a sedentary office worker, because they'll kill themselves. Okay. So I would say Baddha Konasana or what do you call it? Upavishta Konasana. Just exactly what I was thinking. Okay. You spread your legs and you bend over. Okay. In a seated position. Okay. So that's a stretch. But we're talking the Brahma Granthi. So you would do a Paschimottanasana. After you straighten them up. What's next? What do you do after you straighten them? Sushumni, which means into the Sushumna. Sushumni means, it's not Sushumna, got it? Sushumni means into the Sushumna. The I means into, in the paper, on the paper here. Okay? And then Sangraha means collect or gather. What's that mean? The winds are now flowing freely through the pingala and the ida. But you want them into the central channel. This is the joy channel. This is the ecstasy channel. When you have an orgasm, all the wind moves from the red and white into the central channel. That's why you have an orgasm. And that's why you get that feeling. And it's a highly addictive. The entire world wants it. Really, it's like the ultimate drug or something. Everybody wants it. That's why the web is 90% pornography or something. You know, people want it because it's so profound. It's so profoundly... The only other time you get all the wind into the central channel is when you die. You know? So people, it's a powerful force. It's a powerful desire. Okay? How do you think you direct extra wind? Now you don't want the wind flowing in these two ones, right? You got it untwisted, number one. You got it straightened, number two. Now you want to redirect the wind out of them into the central channel. How are you going to do it? Let's do some plumbing. Turn it under. See? Turn them both under. And let them feed the middle channel. Let all that prana come out of the side channels, out of anger. If all the prana is coming out of, goddamn, the guy cut me off. All the prana is coming out of, I'm willing to drive 20 miles over the speed limit and endanger everybody else's life to get there on time. And then all that prana is released into the central channel. Okay, got it? See? There's a Tibetan letter, like ABC, right? There's a letter called Cha. And when they teach this in Tibet, they say, just think Cha. So guess what I did on your paper? I gave you a Cha. All right? That's a Cha letter. And that's how you want the channels to look, at the bottom. Now all the prana is flowing into the central channel. Okay? This is a process of constriction. This is a process of some kind of sucking in. Okay? This is a sucking in motion. In Niguma Asana design, this is any kind of sucking into the central channel from the side channels. So, how would you get that sucking feeling, like a sucking or a sucking in feeling at the Brahma Granta. You could do a Mula Bandha at the Muladhara. You could do a contraction. You could do an Ashwini Mudra. You're doing contractions at the groin. Contractions at the groin. How would you get a contraction at the navel? All those breath exercises where you're sucking in, right? You could say Uddiyana Bandha. Okay. This extends to what they call core work, okay? What you'll find is that all those modern terms have a basis in ancient wisdom. When you say core work, you're talking about strengthening the abdominal muscles and strengthening the ability of the body to constrict in the abdominal area. The ability of the body to, what do you call it? Contract. Up and in. So you could do Navasana here. You could do leg raises for a person who was working all day in an office. You see? You could do simple, you could do Kapalabhati. So you're strengthening the capacity of the body to, what do you call it? Contract. The ability of the body to contract. Or you can just, if you're starting at the bottom chakra, you just do an Ashwini towards the perineum. You know, that's like you're like contracting the muscles at the groin. Okay? And that would induce, why are you doing that? I open the twist. I straighten the channels. What do I got to do now? Yeah, I got to get the wind into the central channel. Okay? I got to suck it in. Okay?
Does the wind go in a particular location, or at each chakra you can get the wind inside?
It's a great question. He said, is it that you can only get the do you only have a chant going on at the bottom? Or can you get winds in at the other chakras? And the first Panchen Lama, in the last tantric reading, had a very unique presentation that said, you can do it at any chakra. You can do it at any chakra. So a part of her yoga, which you will learn, is that you pretend you are breathing through the chakra. You don't breathe through your nostrils. Okay? So while you're in Paschimottanasana, and you're kind of hanging out there for 5 breaths, right? You don't think, you think you're breathing through that chakra. When you get to the heart chakra, you think you're breathing through this chakra. There's no breath coming here. You're breathing like this. And that you imagine the air is coming from here. And that helps open the chakra.
And so theoretically, you could get anywhere in the central channel.
You have to move up. You have to start low and move up.
So like, my question is, the central channel has...
Yeah, side channels. At each of them,
no, has openings it does. To get
yeah,
inside.
Those are the chakras. Those are the spokes of the chakras. They pierce the side channels. They pass through the side channels. When a chakra forms, which looks like a wagon wheel, they pierce the side channels. So yeah, you can get prana in there. But the point is, don't do it here. And don't, if you start here and you don't take care of this first, or this first, what will happen? You'll get room. You'll be shaking. You'll get a headache. You'll feel unhappy. You'll feel nervous. You'll be crazy all day to everybody. You know, because if you release them, and there are yoga. I find some yoga asanas serious to increase my tension. You know, I think they are not designed wisely, and I don't want to say which ones. Okay, but you can check yourself. Some asana series, you go to a studio, you say, what kind of asanas are you doing today? And they say, you know, system number 33. And then you try it, and you come out, and you feel tense, you know? You feel more tense than when you got in there. That's because they're opening them in the wrong order, or they're just opening them at random. There's no plan to the series. They're just opening a little bit here, then open a little bit here, and then suddenly you have all this prana here, and you come out, and you feel angry. There's certain yoga series that when I do, I feel angry afterwards. You know, if you do a proper Niguma series, half hour, 45 minutes, if you do these steps on each knot, you come out feeling so happy. You just feel relaxed and happy, and it's not like something where you're sweating and, you know, is designed in an intelligent way, in a proper way, and then you just feel sort of blissful, just from 45 minutes of yoga, you know? And then you go to work, and the whole day is like, it's weird, because your day is coming out of your heart chakra. You see what I mean? If you build up a lot of prana there and release these two and build up prana here, you'll have a worse day. You'll go to work after the yoga and you'll feel worse because a lower reality will be projected from your heart. You know, it's really weird. Okay. But there's another step there. What is that?
Bindu
Avakirana. Say bindu.
Bindu.
And then you're done, okay? Bindu?
Bindu.
Avakirana.
Avakirana.
In Tibetan? Tigle Dhenpa. Say Tigle Dhenpa. Tigle Dhenpa means distribute the drops. It means you, in the Tibetan system, the last stage should be some kind of distribution. You get everything shaken out. Donald Mitra's into this thing nowadays. He does jumping jacks. If any other yoga teacher tried it, they would yell at them. But Donald Mitra gets up and says, we're doing jumping jacks. Everybody says, okay, Dharma. And then he just jumping jacks like the Marines, you know? And that's Tigle Dhenpa. And it's perfect. And it's very wise. It's very good, okay? If you do a vinyasa between each pose, you're doing a Tigle Dhenpa, you see? And that's why it's nice to have a vinyasa between each pose. But there's other ways to do. The best Tigle Dhenpa in the world is horse roll, which is what? You're just rolling on your back and coming up again. If you go the whole way. Because that's affecting all the chakras, because the chakras are on the back, right? The chakras are in the back. Okay? So that's the best Tigle Dhenpa. There's another secret method involving coffee. And some other thing, but I can't tell you about that. But that's all Tigle Dhenpa. Okay? So she says, go through those four steps. You know, we were joking today in the car, we were trying to remember the four steps, and somebody said, to see God. TSGD. See? To see God. Which is what? Twist? Stretch? Then what was G for?
Gather.
And then D? Distribute. You distribute that. To see God. TSGD. Okay? Those are the four steps in Nigumba. Okay? Then you would repeat it for the groin. You would repeat it for the Svadhisthana, if you cared. In some systems, the Svadhisthana is not separate from the groin and the navel. In the Tibetan system, they don't have Svadhisthana. Then you would do the navel, then you would do the heart, then you would do the neck, and then you would do the headstand, and then you would go to Shavasana. Tigle Dhenpa. You see what I mean? Then you would go to Shavasana. And try. What I say is, don't take my word for it, try it. Just try it in your own yoga. Work up the chakras, do these four steps on each one to the, you know, do a twist on, or acupressure, or a heel, right, to loosen the knot, then straighten it in some way with a stretch. What's the main stretches for the heart chakra?
Back bend.
And that's the most important chakra. That's the most important chakra. But you can bend it both ways. What's the best way to bend it the other way?
Shoulder stand?
Like a shoulder stand or a halasana? Both of them. That's great. You got it. Yeah. So a forward bend and a back bend. You might... What chakra would you want to spend the most time on?
The
heart chakra. There's a triple knot there. And that's where love comes from. Okay? And when you open the heart chakra, you truly love all the people around you. You really, really love them. You know, and it's not some blah blah. When you open it a little bit, you get this really sweet, you've got a crush on everybody. You know? And that's such a nice thing. What would happen if all the working people had a crush on everybody else? There might be all these lawsuits. But I mean, imagine a world where, you know, everyone was just really... You've had places you've worked, or people you've worked with, or friends, And you get together and there's this feeling of, I don't know, there's a sweet feeling. There's just called a sweet feeling, right? It's a sweet feeling with certain people. And then that would get bigger and bigger. If you did this yoga, you're in any situation, in a restaurant, in a yoga class, at your work, you would begin to expand this feeling of camaraderie and harmony and love, some kind of sweet feeling with the people around you. Okay, the more you do this, then the more the sweetness is spreading between people. And isn't that what the point is, right? Wouldn't that be the reason to do yoga anyway? Okay, got it? That's the theory. Then, you know, you could pretty much work on your own asanas. I like to take them, base them on hers, but I don't think it's totally necessary. I think you could work on the theory, and then sometime we'll get together. We'll send you some announcement. We'll try to do it here or someplace else in Phoenix, right? And we'll teach you the actual series. Which again, there's nothing magical. You're not going to do no arm headstands or anything. It's going to be the classical available poses for normal people that would have the best effect on opening that chakra, okay? It's not, the goal is not to the yoga class. The goal is what happens after the yoga class, you see? So it's not like a thing of, oh, you look good in the yoga class, or you can do this, or you can do that. The asanas for doing these things are available to everybody can do that. And then their day will change. And what will happen then? What if yoga came out of the yoga studios, went home, was part of breakfast for all Americans? What if it was just what you do? You brush your teeth, you make your bed, right? You read your newspaper and you do your niguma. And then you have a good day. And then I think that's what I dream of. And you can go to yoga studio, it's okay. In the evening. But that would be my dream. Okay. So we have a custom in the monastery, which most of you know, but we made a good karma today. Like, in theory, we're talking about changing the whole culture of the world, something like that. Like, if everybody did this, everybody would be happy, right? So what we do is we pray for a few minutes, and we'll just close your eyes, and imagine that everybody in this room or everybody in this city is doing this kind of practice. And they just feel sweet towards each other. Everyone feels sweet towards each other. Okay? So just close your eyes and imagine for a minute, 2 minutes, and dedicate the power of what we did. We did karma tonight. Dedicate the karma to that. Send the karma to a sweet feeling that envelops all of things. That's good. So, maybe, who has the, who's doing the email list? Somebody?
Marjorie.
Okay. So, please, if I don't know you, please leave your email with this guy. Raise your hand. And then, what I'm thinking is we can actually do the series in the next few weeks, this month, a couple months. So if you'd like to learn the series, And that will be actual yoga. Okay. But now you understand how it works. Okay? Well, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Yeah.